Always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for His angels who watch over us, thanking God for His church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for the leaders of this congregation, thanking God for this morning. Didn't have to do it, but it did. He gave us this morning for us to come out and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can we do that? Can we remove any and everything that might hinder our worship? May God bless our ears of hearing, hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. This morning, our lesson is taken from the book of Revelation, verse 2 and 4. But I would like to read Revelation, verse 2, 1 through 7. Revelation, second chapter, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "Unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first law. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work of, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except ye repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 4, Nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." My title this morning is Abandoning First Love. And he's speaking to Christians now, to you and me. Verse 1 tells us that this is Jesus speaking to the church. He is the one we saw in chapter 1 who holds the seven stars in his right hand and is walking among the seven golden lampsticks or churches. The angels are messengers. The church of Ephesus teaches us the importance of maintaining both sound doctrine and a fervent love for God and others, while commended for their diligence, discernment, and perseverance in truth. They were also rebuked for abandoning their first love. This serves as a reminder to balance theological correctness with genuine affection for God and fellow believers. The Ephesian church was known for its hard work, its patience, and the ability to discern false teaching. They tested those claiming to be apostles and rejected those who were not. They held to the truth and were commended for their commitment to correcting teaching. They hated the practice of the Nicolaitans. Okay? Amen. A group known for promoting sin and false teaching. They are described as teaching that it was acceptable to compromise Christian faith with pagan practice, including eating food sacrificed to idols and engaging in sexual immorality. The name is believed to be derived from Nicholas of Antioch. Despite their strength, the church had abandoned their initial love for God. This suggested a shift from a heart-centered relationship with God to a more legalistic or intellectual approach. The loss of first love can lead to a cold, critical spirit, potentially hindering fellowship and outreach. A church without love can become powerless and ineffective, despite of its other strength. We must strive to hold fast to sound doctrine while also maintaining a warm and loving relationship with God and others. If we find ourselves lacking in love, we should remember the joy and passion we once had and actively seek to rekindle that fire, extending grace and love to those who may be struggling. You girls, you ladies, remember when you was kids, that doll maybe that you really wanted, maybe it was a Barbie doll and Cabbage Patch, whatever. And you really loved that, you wanted that doll baby so bad. You just had to have it. And you asked your pops or your mother to purchase it for you. You got it, and you loved that doll. You loved it. You loved it. 2 weeks later, your mother said, "Where's your doll?" "I don't know." Are you with me? Lost love. You left it. You walked away from it. It speaks to us today by reminding us to prioritize our love for Jesus above all else and to examine our actions. The standard of genuine is a standard of genuine love. It highlights the importance of maintaining a vibrant, passionate relationship with Christ and warns against complacency or a loss of first love, which can lead to a diminished spiritual life and potential consequences. Abandoning love is a powerful message for all believers today. It reminds us that while good deeds and doctrinal correctness are important, they should not overshadow the foundational love for Christ that fuels our faith. The passage called the Ephesians and us to remember from where we have fallen. Repent and get up and do the works we did at first. This means acknowledging and any decline in our love for God, turning away from that direction and actively working to rekindle the passion and devotion we once had. The first love is a love characterized by zeal, joy, and a deep desire to serve and please Jesus. This passage encourages us to actively pursue that kind of love and to make it a driving force behind all our actions as believers. The passage warns that the Ephesians and us, if we do not repent and return to our first love, Jesus will remove our lampstands. The lampstand represents the church and its witnesses. Therefore, a loveless church risks losing its influence and effectiveness in the world. It's like salt that has lost its savor. It's good for nothing. John 14:15 said, Jesus said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." If we don't keep his commandments, we don't love and reverence him. John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh, but in spirit and in truth. Not so today. We come to worship God in the flesh. In the flesh, worship is a feeling, but spiritual worship is faith. Fleshly worship is drama. We just come to see what's happening. They got into it last week, and I want to see what the outcome is this week. You see, many times we, and remember, like I said, we may not be talking about you, okay? But we, many times we come to church for drama, just to see what's next, and not come to hear God's word. Are you with me? I want to see what the preacher is wearing this week. Are you with me? Is he wearing the same thing? Are you with me? Does he have a hat on this week? We want to start some mess in the church. Just start something, right? It ain't got nothing to do with what God's word is, but just want to start something. And then somebody else is saying, you know, I wonder what's going to happen next week. I got to be here, girl. I got to be the church. Oh, boy, I got to be here to see what's going on. Trust not in the flesh. The flesh will keep you sick with lust. The flesh will keep you sick with hate. The flesh will keep you sick with envy. The flesh will keep you sick with jealousy. And that dreaded disease, I don't feel like it either. I don't feel like going to church today. I'm going to listen to it on the radio or on the internet. I don't feel like talking to my brother today. I don't feel like being on time today. I don't feel like going to Bible study on Wednesday. I just don't feel like it. And I don't feel like it. I just could eat us up spiritually. So far, you know, it'll eat us up so bad until we won't even understand when we hear the preacher. This is what we'd be hearing. Wah, 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 wah. And they ain't getting nothing out of it. And they're going to blame the preacher, talking about, you ain't preaching right. Huh? Trust not in the flesh, because the flesh is crooked. The flesh thinks crooked things. The flesh thinks the easy way of getting things. The flesh thinks of a sinful way of doing right. That's the flesh. And the Bible warns us against the flesh. It's not me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit." Romans 8:6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is self, is life and peace." Romans 8:8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans 8:13, "For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You see, that's one of the reasons why we draw away from the love, our first love, is because of the flesh. The flesh wars against the Spirit. The flesh, we don't supposed to love one another in the flesh. You're not supposed to love your wife in the flesh and your husband in the flesh. We love through the Spirit. You say, "Brother Patterson, well, I don't know how to do that." Seek God right now. Whoever is asking that question, seek God and tell him, I don't know, Lord. I need to understand. You may not be able to understand it through me because I talk a little funny. Are you with me? I don't have the same accent you do. And I just can't understand. What did he say? Sister, what did he say? You know, amen, amen, amen. You're supposed to laugh. You know, but anyway, the flesh, we cannot please God. If we can't please God, we can't please one another. You see, the Bible said in the flesh, you cannot please God. In the flesh, you're gonna want to please self, self-lust. And you know, and you know, self, David says, I shall not want. You see, the flesh wants, lust, wants. You know, when we come out of school, we say we want to be millionaires. We get $1 million, and guess what? We want more. It's just like it ain't enough. Are you with me? We go and say, I want a girlfriend. You end up with two and three. Are you with me? It just ain't enough. Amen? It's always that flesh always wants more. You go to the smorgasbord, buffet, right? You know you shouldn't eat all that food. Somebody got to help you out at the place. Are you with me? Because you don't eat too much. I paid for it, right? So I'm going to eat, right? You eat so much until you can't move. That's the flesh. The flesh wants a lot. Amen? The flesh. If we try to love one another in the flesh, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work because we're going to always have a problem with one another, some kind of way. But the Spirit is saying, listen, let's get this thing right. Right now. Are you with me? But the flesh is saying, you know, I just don't feel like it. You know, I just, you know, that dreaded disease, I don't feel like it either. You know, I just don't want to do it right now. Are you with me? Or, you know, and we are in the flesh. We are in the world, but we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in this flesh, but do not live by the flesh, because the flesh will lead us to hell. Are you with me? The flesh would lead us in a way that we don't want to be led. Amen. The passage serves as a wake-up call to the church. Examine our hearts. And we truly loving Jesus. If we truly loving Jesus, with all our hearts, mind, and soul, we truly love Jesus. This is how we're supposed to love Jesus, not with some. But the flesh would call itself loving Jesus with some. But the Spirit will say we have to love Jesus with all our mind, body, soul, everything. We have to love Jesus in that way. We can't give Jesus a percentage of our love. It has to be all or none. Repent of lovelessness. Acknowledge any decline in our love for God and one another, and turn back to him with a rewarded passion. You know, I know how it is. I've been there. I've been there. You know, when time for the response, you know, nobody want to come up because they think that somebody going to know something. Are you with me? You don't not necessarily have to come up here, but you have to go to God. Now, if you've done something to me or if I've done something to you, I got to go to you. You say, I got to come to you and say, what I said or what I've done, I'm sorry. I am wrong. But if I can't do that, it's because I don't feel like it either has got me. Are you with me? And I ain't taking nothing for it. Are you with me? And we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to forgive. If the Bible teaches me that if I do something to you, say something to you, it hurts you, before I go to the altar, I need to what? Come to you and get that thing right. Are you with me? That's what I need to do first. Not just go to the altar and say, Lord, please forgive me for hurting Brother Patterson. Please forgive me for hurting Jerry. Are you with me? And not go to Jerry. Are you with me? That's how it's supposed to be. And if I have aught, if you have done something to me that I don't like, I have to be able to what? Come to you. You see? But I don't feel like it either steps in, it ain't gonna happen. Rekindle our fresh love. Seek to restore the zeal and devotion we once had for Jesus and one another. Prioritize love in all we do. Make love for God and others the foundation of our faith and action. Be a light to the world, and if we let our love for Christ shine through us, what we do and what we say should impact the world and others. In essence, it reminds us that genuine faith is not just about what we do, but also about why we do it. It calls us to prioritize our love for Jesus above all else, and to ensure that our actions are motivated by a deep and abiding love for Jesus. Amen. You know what that means, right? I'm done. If you are here and you're another member of the church, there's steps you ought to take to become members according to the Bible. Not according to me, but there's steps that you must take. You must hear God's word. You must hear God's word. Must. What is God's word? That Jesus came down from heaven. Came down from heaven, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, suffered, died on the cross for no reason whatsoever. But on that third day, he rose with all powers in his hands. We got to remember that. We got to believe that. Believe that. We got to hear that and believe that. We got to believe. We need to repent. Repent means, once again, if you're going in that direction, it don't mean to just stop. It means to turn around and come back to Christ. Because many times we have just stopped and get our wind and keep on going. But repent means to stop, turn around, and come back to Christ. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water for remission of sin. After that, stay faithful in Christ's grace. You must come to worship. You must give. When you come to worship, you must sing. You must help. You must engage in the prayer. Amen. You must. It's a must that we must do. We must give. We must be able to learn. We must be able to teach. It's a must. It's a more must, but I ain't going to stay up here all day because your head is nodding already. Brother Thomas, I thought you said you was finished, you know? But most of all, that must is you must love. You must. You ain't got the love, you can. You know, you can just call it. You know, if it ain't love, you know, we have lost it. We have walked away from it. And we must have it. We can't act like we love because one thing, I might can't tell it, but one thing Jesus can. And the thing that we don't want to hear Jesus say on that day, I don't know who you are. You coming to me and telling me that you love Brother Patterson? Or Brother Patterson, you come to me and telling me that you love Brother so-and-so and I didn't see it, and I'm the Lord. I didn't see it. Who are you fooling? You see? In other words, what Revelation also is telling us is this, right? Where we were, come back to that. You remember when you first, are you with me? You remember, Brother Tom, when you first got married, you insisted on the phone, you hang up. Now you hang up. No.
and just stay on the phone another hour. You remember? Y'all remember that, right? Mm-hmm. See, I ain't lying. Huh? You see, that's how it is, right? And come back to that first. Say, Lord, I want to come back. I want to come back because you told me to come back. I want to come back to that where I was before. Because where I'm at now, it's like I'm just drifting away from you with my flesh and my thoughts. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Your ways and your thoughts are higher than mine. You know what you're talking about. I know what I need to you to tell me. You see, that's how it is. If you are here and you are a member of the church and you do need prayer, you may come or stand up and ask for it right now. For those of you in the back who's unable to come up, just raise your hand and one of the brothers will come back and they would take your prayer request. But as we stand together now, you may ask for prayers at this time.